I'm Glenda.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are two black moms and a mic. Between us, we have 6 kids, 4 boys and 2 girls.
And we're here to talk to you about everything from diapers to degrees. Welcome to our podcast.
Today, we're starting a 4-part series directed toward college admissions process. There are a lot of high school seniors applying to college this fall, winter, and the process can be confusing and stressful. We want to help you alleviate some of that stress and share some information that we've learned along the way.
Yeah, the college admissions process can be very confusing and daunting, and we are here to help you navigate that process from beginning to end. So today we're going to talk to you about the early action and early admissions cycles. We want to share with you what that is, who should apply early, and how to manage the process and the resulting decisions that are expected to come out in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
So we're going to talk about the early action and early decision, what it really means to families and students. And in the fall, and usually around November, is when early action, early decision applications are due. And about 450 colleges participate in either the early decision or early action cycles. And some of them have both. Some offer a non-binding option called single choice early action, by which students may not apply early to any other schools or colleges.
So you're probably wondering, you know, whether or not you should apply early at all or whether you should encourage your student to apply early. So generally what we've seen is that students, the ones who successfully apply early and who are in the end are satisfied with their choices are students who have, you know, researched the college choices really early, late in their junior year and certainly the summer before senior year. And they know very early in their senior year what their top choice colleges are, based on discussions with you, their parents, and researching the schools, and ultimately, hopefully, you know, going to visit the schools, recognizing that there are impediments to that given the pandemic. But in the past, visiting the schools have been very helpful for students who apply early. And what you look for as a parent, help your student look for a good fit academically for them. Of course, someplace where they can thrive socially and that has activities and sports and, you know, the kind of vibe that your student would really thrive in. And also an issue could be geographically, you know, whether your child wants to, you know, go across the country or stay within a certain proximity of their home, or for some kids, even go overseas to go to college. Another element in deciding whether or not to apply early is when the applications are due, which is pretty early in the fall, whether that's a point where they can really showcase their strongest application in terms of their grades or test scores and their essays and any other, you know, aspect of their application. You need to be able to present your strongest application very early in the senior year to kind of enhance the likelihood that you'll have a successful result. And also, there's some students who may need the benefit of full semester senior year grades to present their best application. And if that's the case, you might want to rethink whether or not you should apply early because those first semester grades wouldn't be in before the applications are due. And of course, another element is, you know, if you've got the test scores that you're hoping to get and whether or not you might need, you know, take the test again. If you need to take it again later in the fall after applications are due, well, applying early may not be the best strategic decision. But those are some things to think about when you're deciding whether or not to apply early.
Okay, Lisa covered a lot of stuff about why you would not apply early. Applying early during the admissions cycle, most colleges will allow you to apply in 2 ways, either early decision or early action. Admissions decisions will be coming out soon because now we're in December. So usually they come out around the first 2 weeks of December before kids go on break. You can expect to get whether or not you were accepted or deferred, and in some cases denied entrance into the college. Now, early decision is binding. You are expected to be able to pay for college with or without financial assistance. You're telling them, I'm coming here no matter what. So before you apply, make sure that all your paperwork is in good shape. Not only your academic paperwork, but your financial aid and your financial planning part. You cannot apply to more than 1 college in early decision. That's just the rule. And early decision deadlines are usually in November, usually November 1st and 15th, which those dates have already passed by the time you hear this podcast. But there are also some that will take early decision in December. And then there's also a early decision two, which has a different deadline. Admission decisions, exceptions, rejections are deferred. If you accept it, then you go. If you reject it, it's not the end of the world. College process is a crapshoot anyway, so you move on to the next list of schools that you're interested in. If you're deferred, you let the school know that you are still interested in the school. You send them a letter. You send them more updated information from your high school. You can send them another recommendation letter if they allow it. But you have to make sure they understand that you're still interested in the school. The biggest benefit from doing this is early decision is that you get it over with. So by December 15th or your early Christmas present, you know whether or not you got into the school that you really wanted to attend. I don't really see a disadvantage in it because you get to know whether or not you're in a school or not. And you can decide if it's early action, you get to decide whether or not you're going to go. If it's early decision and you get in, then you go.
Yep. Thanks, Glenda. And I agree that that is a great holiday present to have, an early decision in your favor in December. So Glenda explained the early decision process. The early action process is really the same as early decision. But the only difference is that early action is not binding. So under this admission cycle, if you apply early as under early action, you're not required to attend if you're accepted. You're not required to attend and not required to let them know as early as with early decision. You can also generally apply early action to more than one school. And the deadlines to apply are usually, you know, November as they are with early decision. And notifications are generally in December or January. So the early action folks are going to be hearing very soon. And again, as Glenda explained, you know, the decisions that you're going to get for early action are the same, accepted, rejected, or deferred. So if you're accepted and you choose to go, that's great. And you tell them, yes, I'll be there. You'll have until April 1st to let them know that you accept the offer of admission. So it's great to have that extra time to really think through your decision. If you're rejected, you can't apply again that for that college year. And if you're deferred, you'll be reconsidered for admission during the regular admission cycle. And Glenda explained some strategies that you might want to consider to enhance the possibility of getting off the deferral list and in during the regular admission cycle. And we could talk a little bit more about that. And again, you know, the biggest benefit with early action is that, you know, if you get in, you don't have to respond to an offer of admission until the spring. So by that time, you'll know what your financial aid award is going to be. So you'll have more information to make a really good decision for yourself.
Yeah, but I'm just going to clear up something. It's not April 1st. It's May 1st.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's May 1st when you get to decide where you have to tell the college is where you're going to go. You know, the college process is a stressful process if you make it a stressful process. But if you go in there, not only looking at what I call bumper sticker colleges, you have a variety of schools that you're looking at and you have prepared your child up until this point or help them prepare themselves for college, then it shouldn't be as stressful as sometimes we all make it turn out to be or make it out to be. Yeah, maybe that's a better way. It's a process that not everybody wants to go through. But if you do, just have an open mind.
Yeah, that's right. And let's talk about some tips quickly. I want to explore a little bit about if you get deferred, like what you should do. What do you think, Glenda? I mean, I hear from college admissions officers, as Glenda said, that you should send in a letter indicating your continuing interest in the school, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What about bolstering your application in any way? I mean, of course, they're going to get your more recent grades. You want to, you know, shore up any issues with grades. You know, you kind of want to get good grades and present those. That'll be considered for regular admission. Anything else?
No, you just really have to write them the letter, tell them that you're still interested, give them their most recent information. If you took a test more recent and you have better scores than you had when you first applied, send those test scores. Now, because of the pandemic and its never-ending story, there are some colleges who are not taking test scores right now. If that's the case, then it's going to really weigh on how well you let them know that you're still interested in their school.
Yeah, colleges have a yield. And so when they make an offer, they want to know that people are going to accept it. So I guess, you know, strengthen your application, show your continuing interest. you know, that could only weigh in your favor in the end. And then there's also the issue of applying early and whether it increases your chances of getting in. When you apply early, you're going to be competing against fewer people. The applicant pool will be smaller because fewer people apply early, especially with respect to early decision. Since you can generally only apply to one school, early decision, the applicant pool that you're going to be competing against will be smaller. But it also will be a strong applicant pool, right, Glenda?
Well, yeah, but if you look at this chart that Lisa created, and it'll be on our blog, it will show you that, for example, Brown University, if that's a school that you're interested in, their early decision acceptance rate is 17.5%. Their regular decision acceptance rate is 6.9%. That is a very huge difference. If you look at Johns Hopkins, their early decision is 28%. And their regular decision is 8.8%. So if these are schools that you're interested in and you're really sure you want to go there and finances are not an issue, then I would recommend going early decision.
Yeah. You'll see on our blog a cross sample of schools where we analyze the early decision rate against the regular decision rate. And the early decision advantage is pretty significant for a number of schools. For the ones we listed anyway, you know, the range is from a 9% advantage upwards to, you know, a 32% advantage. So the early decision option is definitely something that people should keep in mind because it could work to their benefit. And what advice would we have for like juniors who are listening to us and who are preparing for next year?
Well, I think that all this information that we just mentioned and the stuff that's going to be on the blog refers to or applies to juniors and actually sophomores too. Kids sometimes think that it's only the junior year that matters or their senior year that matters, but it's truly all 4 years of high school that matter. And what colleges want to see is they want to see that you're going in an upward trend. They're not necessarily looking for straight A's. They're just looking that the trend that you started in ninth grade is going on upward as far as grades and level of difficulty and that you're challenging yourself because college will challenge you in so many other ways.
It's so true.
That they want to make sure academically you're strong enough to move forward because they don't account for all the other stuff that's going to go on when your kid is in college, like social, emotional, homesickness. But if you have a solid foundation, then you work through those issues because you have that solid foundation for your academics. They usually don't suffer.
Yeah, that's great advice. And, you know, I think it all boils down to, especially if you're a junior, a parent with a freshman or sophomore student, you know, all of this is really like planning. You know, the earlier that you can plan and put together a strategy that's going to help you and your student achieve your desired goal to get to the school of your choice. So we're here to help you in that process. We're happy to take any questions through our website on the Contact Us menu. You know, happy to help you through this journey.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Glenda.
And this is Lisa.
Two Black Moms and a Mic, and we're signing off.